We're continuing this week in our series called Pivot, and last week was Baptism Week, and Pastor Nathan walked us through what it means to decide and declare to have faith in Jesus, and last week, 49 people obeyed the gospel and were baptized. Can we give it up to 49 people saying yes to Jesus last week? And God is truly blessing this church. And we are so excited for each of you that have declared to make Christ your Lord and Savior. And after today, because we have some baptisms next service, that number will be 211 for the year that are baptized at RCC. Yeah, give it up for that. 211 people just this year have decided to walk with Christ in this community. And the community of God is what we're talking about today. So we are continuing in our Pivot series, and the sermon title for today is From Individualism into Community. So I want to start with a very important question. This question is, who in the room loves to pull off a great prank? Anyone? Okay, some hands shot up. I see who you are. Excellent. Glad to know who to watch. Okay, so I have to admit, I am not that huge of a fan of all pranks because I feel like they can get derailed pretty quickly and they can hurt feelings instead of build people up. But I love a really great positive prank. So saying that, let's say that you wanted to put hundreds of political signs in your youth pastor's yard. Yeah, let's just say that you wanted to do that. So first, you would have to lie to your youth pastor and tell him that the small group that you lead will be meeting at Starbucks instead of at the church. And then after you committed that lie, you would get all of your high school girls in their cars to drive all over town to polling places on a Wednesday after polling closed and pick up hundreds of political signs. And then you would meet up in your youth pastor's driveway while he's still at church, you know, telling people to treat others as Jesus would like to be treated. And then you would get in his driveway, take some more pictures, and then book it back to the church for the end of youth group as if no great act of both love and treachery had just taken place. So just say that you wanted to accomplish this great task. First, you would need a couple of things. You would need some cars and some people and the ability to pick up a bunch of signs. But I think, namely, you would actually need a small group leader like Leanna Richards. So Leanna is like an MVP small group leader, just a leader that gets it. And what I mean by that is that she is all in when it helps her girls to adventurously discover and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while these pictures or photographic evidence of vandalism, whichever you want to call them, while these pictures are a little over a decade old from the first church where I started in ministry over on the other side of the river in Jacksonville, Leanna and her husband actually attend RCC today. Leanna, are you here this morning? Leanna and Don? No, not in the room. So I guess they're going to be at third today. So here's the deal. I love positive and thoughtful pranks because they communicate to people that you are loved and that you are honored by and in your community. But I never got Leanna back for this prank. So I figured that we could all do that together today. Okay, so I want it to be positive. So here's what I would like for us to do today. Leanna, as I've already established, is an MVP small group leader. But she's not currently serving in our student ministry. And lucky for us, we need a couple of great small group leaders. So here's what we can do. My email address is travise@riverchristian.church. You can either write that down, or if you just want to grab your phone real quick and open your mail and type it in, travise@riverchristian.church, just send a very quick email to her, to me, that I will like forward and give to her in a creative way. That says, hey, we love learning your story, and we're so glad that you're at RCC. We understand that you're great at being a small group leader. Please lead a small group here at RCC. Just make her feel honored and also coerced into helping us out. That would be great. So thank you for your participation in helping me do that. Positive pranking. I love positive pranking. And one of the best things about it is that the more people that you get in on it, the better it becomes. right? The more people that are in on the joke, the more exciting it is. So, like, for example, if Leanna tried to do this on her own, it would just end up, you know, with maybe a dozen or a couple dozen signs in my yard. I would either look really politically devout or really politically confused, depending on the makeup of the signs, but it wouldn't look as incredible as pulling into your driveway and there is no grass, only signs, right? It takes more people than just one person to do that, and when you add more people, it becomes way more fun. Okay, for another example, at the same church, we had like the big old church bus. Does anyone remember like the big old school church buses? So we had one of those big old things, and every summer, we did this youth event where we would get together on the bus and we would ding-dong ditch our elders. So we would like get together and the different groups, like small groups, would bake cookies with their leaders, and then we would write thank you cards to the elders, and then we would all show up at the church and we'd load the bus full of kids and we'd drive from house to house, like, and a few kids would run out and ring the doorbell and leave the thank you basket, and then inevitably by the time before they could get back to the bus, the door's already open, so like some of the kids are hiding and some are laughing and some are hanging out the windows going, we love you, and then the bus can't exactly speed away because it's one of those old school church buses, so it just kind of does this down the road, right? It's like, but that, it becomes all this epic adventure, right, of sharing our love and honor and admiration for people that we love. So the favorite prank that's happened to me, that's been done to me, is this one. So a couple years ago, our students decided to surprise me with a dress like Pastor Travis Knight. And I remember walking in to the first student that walked in was Jaden Reed that I saw, and black t-shirt, jeans, and a backwards baseball cap. And he walked in, and I didn't notice the whole outfit as a thing. I just noticed the hat, and I was like, hey, I like the backwards hat. You should do that more often, right? Totally oblivious to what was happening. And then a few more students come in, and I'm like starting to put together that something's off. And you could also see it like in their smiles, like, oh, we're getting them. And then it clicked what was happening, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then over 100 students and leaders all walk in with the black t-shirt and the blue jeans and the backwards hat. And with each one of them that walked in, my heart became more and more full of love and honor. So I love positive pranks because they draw us towards each other. Instead of pushing away from each other, they draw us towards each other and towards community. And we were created for community. Okay, so we were created for community. This truth goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, the second chapter of the Bible, where God says this in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So if you've been pranking people by yourself, that is totally unbiblical, okay? It is not good for us to be alone. We need a helper, okay? So, like, I know it applies to pranking. It also applies to things like moving. Has anyone ever tried to move by yourself, or, like, you know, just you and one friend or a couple of friends? It's miserable. It's miserable. It takes forever. You're so tired by the end of it if you survive. We're supposed to have other people. And I don't particularly like moving, myself or others, but when I get asked, I always say yes to this, so you can totally like call me on this. I totally say yes to this because nobody likes it, but we're a part of a community, right? So when I get asked, as often as I can, I say yes to that. Okay, so I have to admit, when Pastor Nathan told me that the title of this sermon series was Pivot, the first thing that came to my head months ago was the show Friends. Anyone else? Yes, okay, good. Okay, so there's this iconic scene in the show Friends with the word pivot in it. And that's all I could think about when he told me we were doing a sermon series called Pivot. And I was so glad that none of the other pastors used this clip from Friends. I found it, and the one that I found online actually has a blooper clip at the end of it that I left in because it's amazing. So we're going to play that. If you're watching online, it's going to be muted just so we don't get kicked off for copyright reasons, but we're going to go ahead and watch this clip together. Let's watch it. Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, so I think it's serendipitous that I found the one with the blooper, because that clip, actually the clip with it and the blooper, I think it expresses what I'm trying to express here about community. So we need each other, right? We need each other to help with the work, to move the couches. Probably not that couch because it's a prop couch and it's not that big of a deal. But it's like we need each other to move stuff, but we also just need each other. Right? We need each other. So like we need friendships like that. We need time, like God created us to enjoy being with one another. We were created for community. But I want to ask you a hard question. When's the last time that you were together with a group of friends and you laughed like that? Right? For some of you, hopefully it was like last night or this weekend, or you're looking forward to getting together with some friends this afternoon after church. But for others, I would hazard to guess that it's not as often as you would like. And that's because across the world, but especially in the United States, our number of friendships are in decline. Okay, so only within the last 10 or 15 years, not like 100 years ago to now, but only in the last 10 or 15 years, on average, the number of close friendships that we have has gone from 3.2 close friends to 1.8 close friends. Okay, so on average, that means that some people have like three or four close friends, but some people have one or no close friends. And I think that's devastating, right? So researchers that are studying friendship and relationships, they're saying that social media is a big piece of this, and that in being online, we are becoming more radically individualized. So what that means is that we're able to find digital community that we feel like we belong to, but there's no physical anchor to that belonging. So there's no trust built between people. There's no hurts that you have to endure with other people. And there's no forgiveness offered in these relationships. Okay, so it's easy and it feels good, but there's nothing actually there. And individualism is one of the things that is tearing real community apart. Okay, so at the root of the problem, I think, is comparison. So anytime you compare yourself to someone else, you're putting yourself in competition with that other person, right? And I think comparison is what we can boil individualism down to and why it's hurting us, is that we don't bear with one another anymore. Okay, so Jesus knew that competition and comparison would tear the church apart. So even his disciples are constantly competing and comparing themselves with each other. So before Jesus gets arrested and goes to the cross, in John 13, 34, he tells his disciples this. He says, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. That's hard, right? Because we're so used to comparison. It's so built into every area of our lives that it leaks into our community and it leaks into the church so easily. And when it does, it blocks our ability to experience community. Okay, when we compare ourselves to each other, we can get picky or get scared, feel superior or inferior about another person, and then we're afraid to actually have connection with that person in our community or in our church. Okay, so likewise, we also just compare the church. Okay, so like just how we can't settle in on a friendship with someone at church or at life group because we're unsure if they're on the same level as you or if you'll get along in everything, we can compare the whole church. And because of that, we don't settle in to the church. Okay, and what I'm not saying here, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be wise and evaluate the teachings of the church. That is a smart and a good thing to do, and we should all do that. Okay, and if your church isn't preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Word of God, then please have the courage to tell them that and then find a church that's preaching Jesus and teaching the Bible. So I'm not saying don't evaluate and find a good church, but I am saying that once you get there, don't take a Yelp approach to church. Don't take a Yelp approach to church. Okay, so Yelp is a review website. It's mainly used for like restaurants and businesses. And in kind of developing this point, I looked up some Yelp reviews, and this is by far the best one that I found. It's for a taco place. It says, the entire kitchen staff and wait staff saw an ice cream truck, and they ran outside, leaving me alone in the restaurant. 10 minutes later, they came back in with ice cream cones. I still can't believe this actually happened. 1 star. So like for me, I think that could have gone either way. That could be a 4 out of 5 star experience for me. Like just the phenomenon of everyone giving up on their job. Right, but that's what Yelp is. This is what it is. And if we did that, if we evaluated church every week when we showed up, and we evaluated what we liked and we didn't like about the worship song selection or the sermon illustration choices or the volume level, then we're comparing. And comparing kills community, kills it. So if we show up to receive rather than to give, then most weeks we're going to leave disappointed. Okay, so don't take a Yelp approach to church. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he says this, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Okay, so that word guardians there is actually pretty rare in the New Testament. It's used three places, and it's a mashup of two words together where we get the term guardians. And those words are child and bringer. Okay, so like, essentially nanny or babysitter, is a child walker, okay? So Paul is telling the church in Corinth that there's a big difference between babysitting or nannying and being a father, and he's going to treat them like a father. Okay, so what's the difference? I think the difference is that a nanny doesn't really want you to grow up because they have job security, right? That babysitter wants to keep babysitting, and they don't want you to grow. Okay, but a father is different. Parents are successful when they prepare their kids to face the challenges of life, and they go and face those challenges. Okay, so that's what we want for you. Okay, that's what we want for everyone here at RCC, right? Our mission statement is to win people, train believers, and unleash disciples, which is way different than win people and keep them here where they need us for everything forever, right? Win people, train believers, and unleash disciples. This is what we want for this church. So in other words, we don't just want addition where more people come to this church. We want multiplication where you learn how to reach more people for the gospel of Christ. Okay, so we want you, even if you just got baptized today or last week or this year, we want you to become a disciple of Jesus who knows and has confidence in your relationship with God. And your salvation in Jesus. And we want you to be unleashed to share what God has done and is doing in your world with your world. And we think that happens in community. It happens as a result of being in biblical Christian community, right? If we're going to grow in our faith, we need community to do that. And if we're going to grow in our faith, it's going to be together. Okay, if you open your Bible to the New Testament, the first four books of the New Testament are recordings of Jesus' life from four different people, four different perspectives. And right after that, the book of Acts is kind of the next, what happens next from one of those writers. So Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and in it, it starts with Jesus has been executed and put in the tomb is where we pick up in the book of Acts. Okay, so his disciples and followers are kind of like they're in hiding and they're afraid for their lives, and they've been so hopeful that Jesus would overthrow the Roman Empire and would establish a new empire where the Jewish people would be in charge. But when Jesus died, so did that dream. Okay, he was the one with all the talent. He was their ringleader. And they now assume that there was nothing they could do to impact the world. Okay, after all, with Jesus gone, it was now just down to them. And it felt like it was game over. But then they encountered a resurrected, not dead anymore, Jesus. Okay, so if I were there, then I would think like, okay, game plan's back on, right? So Jesus had just defeated death, so now he's definitely going to take this movement to the masses. But Jesus doesn't do that. So essentially in Acts 1, 7 through 9, he says, nope, it's not me. Okay, it's going to be you. I will leave my spirit with you when I leave. So when I return to be with my Father in heaven, you got this. Now, that's not actually what it says. That's my paraphrase. But he says, I'm going back to heaven. You got it. Okay, so, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He left a bunch of ordinary people. And they were people who had the Spirit of God working through them, and I think that is the game changer here. Okay, so these people, they knew that they could pray and talk to God about anything and everything. And they knew that because Jesus modeled that. Okay, they knew they had access to the power of God at any time because Jesus showed them that. And they knew that they could impact the lives of other people even though they themselves were flawed and broken people, because that's the challenge that Jesus left them with. And when you go through the book of Acts, there's two main characters, Peter and Paul, but those are not all the characters in the book of Acts. You see a bunch of non-famous, regular people who came together to have a bigger impact. Okay, so for example, one of the bigger problems that they had in the early church was the lack of an organized process for distributing food to those who needed it. Super exciting, right? Okay, so they created a system to figure out how to get food to the most people who needed it the most. So in Acts 6, we're going to read this together, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting with all the believers, and they said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. And listen to this, this is the best part. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Okay, so some of those names I even struggled to like say, because we don't say a lot of those names often, right? They're not names that you hear, but in this was a whole group of non-famous, heroic, normal Jesus followers who were working together. And the end result was that they had such an huge impact that the number of believers increased rapidly. And even the guys that were like the no one thinks they'd ever become a Christian guys, the Jewish priests, they began to join the church. It's amazing what we can do when we're together. Okay, can I tell you a secret? I don't really like superhero movies. And I know that may be offensive to some people that are like, "Oh, I love superhero movies." But like, it's just, I know it's kind of a hot take. I don't like superhero movies. And here are some of my reasons. 1, I think they're all the same. Okay, 2, there's way too many of them. And 3, how many times can you watch the good guys and the bad guys smash everything for 2 hours before the good guy barely wins in the end, right? Also, who's liable for all the damage? Do they have insurance companies? Who rebuilds? The storylines in these things are just like, I don't get it, right? And I know that I'm in the minority here because they're epic and adventurous and all these things, but here's my big reason of really why I don't like superhero movies, is that I think extraordinary people doing extraordinary things is not extraordinary, right? When you make a person that can like fly through the air and shoot laser beams and all this stuff, and they do that, that's not extraordinary. Right, so like, okay, recently Aaron and I went on a trip and we were on a flight, and almost everyone was watching a superhero movie, which I can see because I sit like above the seats, so I can like look down at all of everyone else's TV screens. So like the whole plane is superhero movie, except for me and a couple of people. I wasn't watching a superhero movie. I was watching this movie called A Man Called Otto. Which is a Tom Hanks movie. It's based on a Swedish book called A Man Called Ove. And in this movie, based on the book, which I haven't read, and I love reading, so it's kind of embarrassing that I haven't read that, and I will. But the movie was great. Okay, anyway. In it, Tom Hanks plays Otto. And Otto is a man that lived a good and deep and simple and rich life with his wife. And in their golden years, she passes away, and he walks through grief and despair while finding a new purpose, which is serving his community around him. But he does it in like this really endearingly grumpy way. Okay, so it's like everyone else is watching Superman and I'm sitting there like wiping my eyes constantly because this movie is so sweet and soulful and endearing, and I'm just like silently weeping, and I can't hide from that because like my knees are already touching the seat in front of me, so there's no slouching possible, right? But it's like, here's why I like that movie and not the superhero movie, is because Otto was ordinary, right? Otto is ordinary, and I think ordinary people doing an extraordinary thing, that's extraordinary. Okay, ordinary people doing extraordinary things, I think that's extraordinary. And that's what I love about all these people that are mentioned in the book of Acts, is that they're just ordinary people. But they come together and they do this extraordinary thing. They declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Okay, so besides these lists of people in Acts 6, there are many more ordinary people in the book of Acts that contribute to the gospel reaching the world. So In Acts 9, we find Tabitha. There was a believer, it says in Acts 9:36, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas, and she was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. Okay, and then we read about Jason in Acts 17. It's Acts 17:6, it says, not finding them there. The them is Paul and Silas. Okay, so not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world, they shouted, and now they are here disturbing our city too. Right? Okay, who's heard of Jason from the Bible? Okay, most of us haven't, but even though you've probably never heard of him, he was a part of a group that, according to this scripture, caused trouble all over the world. And what they mean by causing trouble is telling people about the resurrected Jesus. Okay, one of my favorites is a guy named Aristarchus. He's mentioned in Acts 27:2. All it says there is that we boarded a ship from Adramidium, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessaloniki, was with us. That's all you read in Acts 27. But if you keep on reading, you see that that is the boat that wrecks on Malta. Like, so he is willing to go the distance and even to be shipwrecked to be able to be in a group of people that believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're walking that out together. Okay, Aristarchus is also mentioned in two more times in the Bible, in Acts 19 and Colossians 4. In the first passage, Acts 19, the whole town is rioting because people are converting to faith in Jesus, and it's like ruining their business. And Aristarchus is who they're pointing at, Aristarchus and a guy named Gaius. And then in Colossians 4, it's mentioned that Aristarchus is in jail with Paul. So again and again throughout the Bible, this guy that is just a sideline character, but he's in the community that changes the world. Okay, so we need to know that we don't all have to be Paul, who is arguably the greatest evangelist that ever lived. But if the church is together, then the work of the gospel will be done in and through all of us. Aristarchus, Tabitha, Jason, they didn't do it by themselves. They were part of groups of believers working towards a great purpose together. Okay, so as people drag groups like this into their city authorities, even the insults that were hurled at them were heard as compliments. They were basically saying there's something different about these troublemakers. There were men, women, educated people, uneducated people, famous teachers, no-name workers, but they came together and they used their presence, they used their talents, and they used their faithfulness to change the world. And we're still talking about them today. Not only do we talk about them, we're a part of their movement. But there's a problem. See, they changed the world together, but our together is shrinking. Okay, community is shrinking. Authentic friendships are shrinking. There's a new study that came out recently that said 40% of American adults have no one they confide in. 40% of American adults have zero confidants. Almost half of this room has no one they confide in, if that stat is true. I think that's devastating. And if that's you right now, please know that it's not where you are meant to be. Okay? And the way out, we believe, is community. So as I said, my last sermon on community, I meant it then, I still mean it now, come to my life group. Okay? Come to my life group. If it works for you, come to my life group. Okay? So there you can meet Don and Leanna, and you can give Leanna your thank you in person because they come to my life group. It's Wednesday at 6:30. There are plenty more parking spots on my life group leader's front yard. I go to the Brits life group, so if you're looking for a great life group and you're free Wednesdays at 6:30, all the info is back in our life group area. But if that one doesn't work for you, then come to a life group. All of the life groups want you to join them. I want you to join us. Okay, so all that info can be found out in the life group area in our lobby, but we want you to come. Okay, and we were created for community. Remember, we're created for community, and we think that the best way to find community in this church is in a life group. But make me a deal. If you come to my life group, don't Yelp my life group. Okay? Don't Yelp my life group because you'll be disappointed. Okay? We are not perfect, and no group that you visit will be perfect. Okay, so to prepare you for this and to remind us all, this is all something that we need to be reminded of. Paul in Romans 12 gives like a couple dozen really staccato or short rules for living in community. So we're going to read a couple of those together. Romans 12 verses 3 through 5 says this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Okay, and then later in verse 16, he says this: "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Okay, so you're probably not going to find that idyllic best friend, that one person that you like live for happily ever after, frolicking in the fields or racing cars, whatever you're interested in, at your life group, but you're going to find people to walk through life with you. Okay, but we've got to get that idyllic image out of our heads and remember that we're not perfect. Okay, Henry Nouwen says it this way: forgive each other for not being God. I think that's so well said. Forgive each other for not being God. Okay, we are all people chasing after God, but we are not him. Okay, you can admit this to yourself, it's okay. You don't have it all together. And that's okay, because I don't have it all together, right? No one in this room has it all together. Okay, and if my imperfection is the first thing you see when you come to my life group, please come back. Please come back, because honestly, I need more people to confide in. And I bet you do too. Okay, so I want to end this thought today with two more prank stories. And I hope that these stories can help to give us a little hope on what it means to have great, authentic Christian community. The first one is a negative prank story. So when I was in middle school, I was new to this church and new to youth group, and I went on my first like overnight youth group experience. And we stayed in this church's gym, and they had like the big gym and then like the big group bathrooms with the showers in them. And so I like brought my sleeping bag, and I found a little spot to sleep in the gym, and I hadn't really connected with anybody on the bus ride there, so I still kind of felt alone. And then I go in the bathroom to take a shower before I go to bed, and I'm in the shower in this gym bathroom, and all of a sudden like a wall of cold water comes over the shower stall onto me, and all these like older guys in the youth group start laughing on the other side of the bathroom stall. And I look down, and I'm like, not only was it just water, but it was also like a partially full trash can. So I have like candy wrappers and gum and all this stuff all over me as a little seventh grade boy, and well, a big seventh grade boy. And I in that moment, I didn't feel in on the joke. I felt like I was the joke. Right, I felt like all of these boys on the other side of that shower stall door were telling me that I was not like them. Right, they were telling me that I was out. And in that moment, I felt sad and ostracized and alone. And it was for that reason that I really quit. I quit going to youth group, and I took a pause on church for several years of my life. But later in high school, I found a different church and started going there, and I found community that was so good. In fact, I'm still really close friends with a couple of kids from that, or a lot of kids from that youth group, but a couple of them live here in town, and I still see them and hang out with them regularly. I spent time with one of those friends 2 days ago. And that community, that church that loved me, it changed my life. Okay, it's one of the big reasons that I'm standing on this stage today, is because I was loved so well by the Christ that lived in those people. Okay, so that church, when I was in college, I went to go study ministry, and while I'm in college, that church asked me to chaperone a youth event, so I met them in Gatlinburg, Tennessee for a youth event, and we're like packed into this hotel room with like 5 or 6 boys per room, and I got in the shower at the hotel room, but you leave the door unlocked because there's too many kids and we all need to be in there. So I'm in there showering, and the door opens, and I don't really think anything of it, and then a trash can full of water comes over the shower curtain onto me. And I'm like shocked by the cold and yelling about it and all that. And then I hear the lead pastor of that church laughing on the other side of the shower curtain. And in that moment, you know, I didn't feel sad or ostracized or left out. I felt like I was a part of the joke. Because the guy on the other side of that shower curtain was, I knew somebody that was always for me. 100% of the time was for me. And the times that I had sat around his dinner table or met him at McDonald's to like talk about the Bible and for him to help answer some of my bigger questions about faith and life, I knew he was for me. Okay, so the same exact prank. But in the first one, I felt hated. And in the second one, I felt loved. Okay, in the first one, I felt pushed out by a group of people. And in the second one, I felt welcomed in. And the difference was that in the second one, I was inside of a community that loved me. Okay, you see, church, that the church can, sometimes the church can be in the way of God. But it will also never cease to be the way to God. I'll say that again. The church can be in the way of God, but it will also never cease to be the way to God. So I understand those of you that are like, I don't want to try community because I don't want it to not work out. I get it. I understand those of you that have been wounded by the church before. I get it. I have too. And to be honest with you, unfortunately, sometimes I'm the one that does the wounding. Right? Sometimes I'm the one that hurts someone else. We try our best to imitate Jesus, but I'm not him. Right? And sometimes I'm going to fail in trying to be like him, but I need a community where that's okay. Right? I need you guys to love me and walk with me and give me room to hear so that I can apologize. I need space with y'all where that's okay. And we think that that space is available to everybody here. Hey, whether you're a kid in our kids' ministry, whether you're a student in our student ministry, or whether you're an adult, we think that there's a spot for you to be in a community like that one. And we're ready for you to come. So if you haven't come to a life group, please come. If you haven't come to our student ministry, it's tonight from 5 to 7, please come. And it's going to be difficult and awkward, and you're not going to know what to do with the me's in the room, right? It's going to be weird, but hang in there, because there is a community for you there. There's a community of Christ that will love you and walk with you through your faith and life. So I'm going to close this out in a prayer. And if there's something from today's message that you want prayer or something going on in your life that you need prayer for, then we have members from our prayer team that are going to come up to the front. And after my prayer, when we start our song, they'll be here to pray with you for whatever your needs are. Let's pray together, church. God, we are so thankful for your son, Jesus, that you sent him to the cross to declare your love for us is unconditional. And God, we're thankful that he established the church, the bride of Christ, and that in the church, we can find people who are following you, trying to be like you, and they're doing that together. God, thank you for establishing the church, and thank you for giving us this one. And God, I pray that every person in this room, even if they've been hurt by the church or by somebody in church before, that they will have the courage to take a step towards biblical community, towards Christian community, God, and that they'll walk with you in this next phase of life with other people. Because we know that that's how you intended us to be. We know that we're better together and that we were created for community. God, be with us. Give us courage, and I pray for the days to follow that we have more laughter and that we spend more time confiding in others than we ever have before. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.